question is this: how do we get two groups of people to come together? Those that are completely disengaged with what I call their personal physical health status, and those people who are in love with their physical health status and doing something about it. How do we bring them together so that everybody fits into the second category of falling in love with their physical health, lowering their risk of disease, and feeling amazing? We're going to find out in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. Hey everybody, welcome back to this episode of the audiobook. We're up to section 3 now. If you remember from the last section of the PE teacher and the professor and a new health team, which we're going to delve into that a little bit more in this section of the audiobook. If you remember, I said I'm going to start this section with something called the Gang of Eight. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. It's not really a gang, it's really a group, but it's an interesting story for the two focus points or the two things that I'm trying to help move out of the way so that you understand the power of the PE teacher and the professor and what we're trying to accomplish here. So the two things I'm going to look at today, something called the core chains of false belief. This is a fascinating journey, something I've been studying. And then a second thing is frameworks and being taught the wrong frameworks. So I'm going to get to both of those things in just a moment. But let me just talk about this story called, because I want to launch off with this in this section of the book, the story that actually is a true story, happened to me, called The Gang of Eight. Now, I had this belief that the level of physical activity, which is on the decline, and as you know from the series that I talk about, we're in the age of Netflix, Uber, Google, and screens, a euphemism. If you've heard me say this before, if you've listened to previous sections of this audiobook or previous episodes of my podcast, but it's a euphemism for the world of technology that we have become a part of, Netflix, Uber, Google, and screens, over the past 20 years. That's not the entire world of technology, but that's just a way to me make a statement of what it represents. Those are some of the big areas of the world of technology. I could have put in Apple and Facebook and Meta, I think it's called now, and Amazon. The world has changed dramatically. Broadband technology, smartwatch, it just goes on and on and on. It's expanded beyond belief. I had this false belief that when I put together this project, this platform, The New Science of Physical Health, I had this internal false belief that people wouldn't necessarily want to listen to what I had to share, even though I've had all these years of experience, 34 years of actual teaching health and physical education, over 34,000 lessons face-to-face working with people, and also the last decade of working with professors from around the world in areas of medicine and exercise physiology, oncology, public health, cardiology, pediatrics, and the list goes on. Because what I wanted to do was to teach people who teach children, teenagers, and adults how to fall in love with being physically healthy and lower their risk of the number one and number two cause of sickness and death. So I had this false belief, I wasn't entirely sure whether there was an audience for this and people that wanted to listen to it. But as I look at today, as I record this in a brand new year, that the number of countries that listen to this program and the number of cities that we've reached with The New Science of Physical Health, both through our podcast and our special projects like this audiobook, now up to 75 countries, and as I'm looking at it right now, 883 cities. I can't possibly read all of the cities. But if I go through some of the countries, United States of America, Australia, Canada, China, this is in order of the number of downloads from each of these countries. China, I can't believe China, like that's fantastic. Finland, United Kingdom, Germany, India, Saudi Arabia, Russia, UAE, Iran. Wow, Iran, that's fantastic. France, Netherlands. I mean, a lot of these countries, Norway, Turkey, I don't speak those native language, but people who have an English-speaking background listening in those countries, thank you so much for that. Indonesia, Brazil, Kuwait, Spain, Qatar, Sweden, Philippines, Mexico, Egypt, Morocco,
Singapore, the list goes on, 75. What's the last one on the list? Bulgaria. Then a few up, Denmark, Luxembourg, Nigeria, Chile, Iceland. How does my program reach Iceland? That is really appreciated. My internal false belief said, I don't know whether people would be interested in listening. That's one of the core chains of false belief, because I didn't think that people would want to hear about this top. I wasn't sure how well it would be received. Not that I didn't think they wouldn't want to hear about it. How well would it be received? Well, it's overwhelmed me. It's beyond my wildest expectations. So then the next part of it that I wanted to talk about was this story of the that moves from being internal chains of false belief, core chains of false belief, like I had with my program, The New Science of Physical Health, to something called external chains of false belief. And this is the perfect story in reference to this particular program and this audio book that we're looking at, The PE Teacher and the Professor, A New Health Team. I was working with a number of years ago a group of 8 adults from various backgrounds. And these were 8 adults. Here's probably the best, and they were in their 20s. I won't talk about how I got involved with them and what I did, but there was a group of 8, and they were a group of people who knew each other from their school years, and they were now in adulthood working in different jobs, and I got to work with them. And we were at a particular, and I wanted to show them some things to do with the new science of physical health. And the reason I wanted to work with these people is not because they were the type of people that you would have found at school who were who would be described as sporty, coordinated, or enthusiastic for either health or physical education classes. In fact, this group of 8, complete opposite. This group of 8 were people that were, by the end of primary school, in certain parts of the world, you call it elementary school. By the end of primary school, to a person, these 8 people had told me in various conversations that we had, interactions, that they felt uncoordinated, embarrassed about their lack of skills in games, and they had no interest in, by the time they reached the 7th grade, that's the start of high school in Australia. I know in some parts of the world that's middle school, but in Australia that's the start of high school. And they had no interest in playing games. And in fact, their only objective when they went to their classes at school, they told me, was to blend into the background and not be involved so they weren't embarrassed. Now, this group of young adults, by their mid-20s, had thrown the baby out with the bathwater, this gang of 8. What do I mean by that? Now, they weren't really a gang. They're just lovely people, but they're just a group of adults from different workplaces, but they had gone to the same school together. So throwing out the baby with the bathwater means this. They had their experiences, see if this rings true for you, where health and PE lessons and sport lessons were all based around games and being coordinated. And when they felt they couldn't do it, which is many, many, many people, they stopped. So by the time they reached their mid-20s, somewhere in their late 20s, by the time they reached their mid-20s, when I was dealing with them, they had stopped all types of physical activity because their association with physical activity was being coordinated and in games. And they didn't like that, so they didn't do any of it. And they got out of it as quick as they could. And here's the interesting thing. They left school, became adults by their mid-20s, and we now know from all the professors that I've worked with that by your late 20s, you are developing precursor molecular and physiological adaptations in the negative, because you can have them in the positive or the negative, but negative molecular and physiological health adaptations that would be giving you precursors for the leading cause of sickness and death, cardiovascular events, by your late 20s. We also know from all of the research I've done in the past decade, it's not really me doing research, working with the researchers, that's probably the better way to explain it, working with professors of medicine, professors of cardiology, professors of molecular biology, professors of oncology, professors of exercise physiology, people who are world-class medical researchers, all got PhDs. We now know that physical activity creates positive, the correct dose, by the way, more about that later. The correct dose creates, more about what is the correct dose later. Correct dose creates positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. Here's the rub of the green, though. Here's the baby with the bathwater scenario. These people stopped doing it because no one had ever shown them the frameworks that relate to teaching them about them and their internal physiology and their internal molecular changes. Basically, to put that in an easy way to understand it, they had no idea of the degradation that was beginning to happen in their bodies in the mid-20s, that by their late 20s, because of the lack of physical activity, in their late 20s would be giving them the precursors to cardiovascular events, strokes, heart attacks, aneurysms, and the list goes on. Damaged blood vessels, damaged kidneys, potentially down the track end-stage organ failure, heart failure, high blood pressure, the list goes on. Now, the danger is, so 18 million people a year pass away from cardiovascular events. It's by far and away more than double the number of deaths from any other single cause of sickness, disease, and premature death. So we know that the correct dose of physical activity will not just dramatically reduce the risk, it will absolutely make it plummet. But here's the great challenge. That these people left school and didn't have the correct frameworks. Now, I want to explain this in more detail for about 7 or 8 minutes about this concept of frameworks in relation to the Gang of Eight. Here's what I did. Using something called the PE Teachers Health Lab. Now, if you're interested in the PE Teachers Health Lab, I'm about to give and launch something called the PE Teachers Health Lab Challenge. It's really cool. It's a 5-day challenge, not just for PE teachers, but for anybody who either wants to fall in love with being physically healthy themselves or wants to influence other people. So, for example, if your career relies on people working with you to learn and have the desire to be physically healthy, so you could be like me, PE health teacher. You could be an allied health professional, a physiotherapist, a functional therapist, an exercise physiologist, allied health professionals, or you could be a personal trainer, a professional in the fitness industry. If your career relies on getting people to come to you and to work with them to make them more physically healthy, the big question is this in my mind: how do you get people to fall in love with being physically healthy? Well, here's the interesting thing. I took this gang of eight, this group of eight adults, over a 6-week period through a series of frameworks inside the PE Teachers Health Lab. I created these frameworks from my collaboration with several key professors from around the world. That's why this audiobook is called The PE Teacher and the Professor and Professors, a New Health Team. We want you to collaborate with us. Just like I did with this gang of eight, this group of eight adults. I took them for about 6 weeks. By the time, I'll just cut this a little bit short, but we're going to delve more into this in this section of the book and the next section. I helped them to break their, what I called, the core chains of false belief, this external belief that if I'm not coordinated, if I don't like games, I don't see the point of being physically active. How did I do that? What did I do to break the core chains of false belief for these people to get to the end of the story? After 6 weeks, I sat each of them down as a group and I started to talk to them and ask them questions about the experiences they've had over the last 6 weeks. To a person, 8 out of 8, not being prompted, the statements that came back to me were along these lines. I'll paraphrase it in one statement. Here it is. This is the first time in our lives we've realized that physical activity is not about how coordinated you are and not about how well you can play a game. of some kind, a sport or a modified game, like we did at school. Being physically healthy and participating in physical activity and rising to the level of qualifying as being classified, but being classified from a medical perspective as physically healthy is something we can be in total control of. Now, I'll just summarize it again. These people told me that they felt in total control now of becoming classified as physically healthy and at a very low risk of the number one cause of sickness and death, cardiovascular events. And that has a cascading effect into the number two cause of sickness, disease, and premature death, cancer events, and all the others below that, because it works from the top down. I asked them this question. I said, what has changed for you in this 6-week period? And they said, this is what they said to me. The frameworks that you have shared with us made us realize things about ourselves that we had no idea existed in relation to our physical health outcomes. We had no idea, not only did we have no idea they existed, we had no idea of the critical importance that the correct dose of physical activity has on our current and future health outcomes. We could have been at the mercy of sickness, disease, or potentially premature death. But that when they said, when you started teaching us about us, meaning I customized it to each individual person, and that's what the PE Teachers Health Lab Challenge teaches you. Here's what I'm going to explain to you. I've created a 5-day challenge that will teach you what I taught them. And that is how to get either yourself or groups of people interested in and falling, what I call falling in love with, wanting to be physically healthy. Because this is what we know from the data. The vast majority of adults on a global basis stop being physically active on a weekly basis. I know in Australia, the average of 60% of Australian adults do zero physical activity per week and are creating negative precursor conditions by their late 20s that could lead to cardiovascular disease. And that's why it's the number one cause of sickness, disease, and premature death here in Australia, as it is likely, almost certainly, in your country if you're not from Australia like I am. So, the story of this Gang of Eight was at the end of this time period of us being together for 6 weeks, I had walked them through what I call the PE Teachers Health Lab Challenge. And that is a set of frameworks on how to fall in love with being physically active and turning that into improved physical health outcomes and having the desire to, where they didn't feel pushed, but it came from them internally. That was critical. So how did I create that? Well, the first thing that I want to share with you is about the topic of frameworks. So let me explain this. I'm going to do it in this way, in this format. I've recorded a video episode that I'm going to give you the audio portion of right now. We're about to transition to about 7 minutes of me talking about frameworks. So let me get to that, and then I'm going to come back and bring it back to the relevance of this audiobook, The PE Teacher and the Professor, A New Health Team. Well, it'll be very, very relevant to what we want to talk about after this. All right, transitioning now. Welcome everybody to this video learning episode inside the new science of physical health. I want to talk to you about this topic called frameworks, educational frameworks. What frameworks do is explain the world around us. Let me give you an example. But I don't think, by the way, I don't think we have the right physical health frameworks. Let me give you an example. Across the screen right now is a representation of mathematical formulas that are complex. Like, I don't understand what those particular formulas are that you see on the screen right now. There's more complex ones here on the screen we just transitioned to. But let me use a simple framework in maths that explains the world around us, and I use this all the time. If I was to do my 5x table, I have my son, for example, do his 5x table. He's in the 6th grade here in Sydney, Australia.
And then I had another child do it in San Francisco, another child do it in France, another child do it in Russia, another child do it in New York, another child do it in Canada, you know, in Ontario, another child do it in London, in England, another child in Johannesburg in South Africa. All those areas, if the children get the right answer, 5 times 1 is 5, 5 times 2 is 10, 5 times 3 is 15, if they all get the right answer, they've used the multiplication framework that exists inside maths, which is relatively simple when you compare it to some of the things that I don't even understand that are on the screen. I've heard of E equals MC squared. I don't know if I really know what it is. But when it comes to health, particularly the number one cause of sickness and death, cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular health, the question is, or the supposition that I have is, there are not frameworks in place that would allow us worldwide to get the same answer like there would be with multiplication. And there are other examples in education where frameworks explain the world around us, but I just don't think it is there in physical, in what I call the physical health status world. So part of what my explanation is going to be to you through this video episode is that I've created educational frameworks to explain how we could get the same result all around the world, no matter where you are, and that is by using the frameworks we're explaining here to become more physically healthy than 98% of the people in the community that you live in. That's the purpose of the frameworks that I've built. And I'll talk a bit more about other frameworks and also the three frameworks that I've got, the three major frameworks inside the new science of physical health. All right, here we are inside the chemistry framework that is called the elements table. Once again, this is not my area of expertise, but look at all the letters there and look at the names that are above the letters there that you can see as they float across the screen. Every particular letter in this situation, I'm like, I can't even pronounce some of these words. Iridium I've heard of, platinum I've heard of, hassium I've never heard of, beryllium I've never heard of, if that's how you say it. They are all elements inside the elements table that belong to the chemistry framework, which explain the world around us when it comes to physical elements. So here's the question. Have you ever seen diagrams for physical health outcomes that are like a multiplication table, or they're like the elements table that you see here in chemistry? And that's what I realized has not ever happened, is that we've never had a standardized set of frameworks. So for example, all those countries I mentioned with the multiplication tables, take any person who has any background in chemistry and they start to use those element tables, they'll get the same answers and the same result as everybody else, no matter what city you live in, what town you live in, what university you go to. These frameworks are the global standard. So, in my opinion, inside the work of the professors around the world that I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to work with, there is some standardized set of guidelines that we can use in frameworks that will help explain your personal physical health status outcomes and drive down your risk of the number one cause of sickness and death, cardiovascular disease, and the number two cause of sickness and death, cancer. But they have to be provable, repeatable framework. So let's talk about those. So once again, here I am inside some very complex mathematical frameworks. I don't think with our personal physical health status, complexity works. And that's why we haven't transitioned all the medical research into simple to use lessons. So here are three, I'm just going to move myself up the screen up here. Here are three simple frameworks that I've created: the molecular benefit map, influencer framework, and the impact quadrant. You're going to hear about all of those individually and the evidence behind them, because behind them it's all complex. But what those three frameworks do, which are in separate episodes, is they drive down your risk of a cardiovascular event. That's the heart and blood vessels inside your chest and also your lungs and also your brain. We want to drive down the risk of a cardiovascular event happening to you or anybody that you influence. Let's get people out of what I call the disease funnel into the health funnel by using frameworks that we know from a medical perspective, some medical science, And these are the three frameworks. Behind all of them are years and years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of person hours, men and women, who are professors who've put the science together to prove that if you do certain things related to the middle framework, the influencer framework, which is the whole episode on, you will do this. You will drive down your risk of a cardiovascular event, or you can get the guaranteed same outcome using those three frameworks and steps 5 and 6 in this series, and get the same outcome no matter where you are in the world. That's why I say that if you use the 7-step blueprint inside the new science of physical health, then with the molecular benefit map, the impact quadrant, and the influencer framework, you will be able to be more physically healthy than 98% of the people in the community, because they're not using those frameworks. All right, that's a brief intro to frameworks. There's an audio episode. Check that out as well. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode soon. Bye for now.
Okay, there is my understanding of frameworks. And the outcome, back to the story of the Gang of Eight, to wrap that up as we move to the end of this section of the audiobook before we get to section 4, and when we make that one available to you, the whole concept here is this. There is no common framework for physical health like there is for these other areas. For example, as I just mentioned, multiplication tables or chemistry, the elements tables. But what I set out to do was to reach out to groups of professors around the world, study their work, their clinically validated, peer-reviewed, and published in medical research journals, their work about exercise physiology, exercise science, cardiology, disease prevention, the whole range of different things. And I set out to do was to create a set of frameworks that would help put together the ability to transfer people into a stage where they had not only frameworks that could be relied upon to be 100% successful every time you applied the frameworks, but they would be clinically validated frameworks in driving down your risk of the leading causes of sickness, disease, and premature death. And so I created the PE Teachers Health Lab. Now, as a free component, before people get to that, what I gave this group of 8 people essentially was the early version of the 5-day PE Teachers Health Lab challenge. And it's leading them through a set of frameworks. Now, instead of beginning to dive into those frameworks right now, I'm going to finish out this section of the audiobook with a prelude to what's coming in section number four, episode number four. And an epiphany that I had after working with one specific professor from Norway that I champion more than any other professor I've ever met. And there's a particular reason. After sitting down with him and asking him a particular question about the work that he'd done. So he's a professor in cardiology and a professor in exercise physiology. If you want to look up some of his details, he's on Wikipedia or listed in Wikipedia for obvious reasons when you read it. It's outstanding work that this person has done over the past 35 years. I think he's been a professor probably for about 25 of those 35 years, maybe a bit longer. But his name is Professor Ulrich Wisloff, U-L-I-R-K, Ulrich, no, U-L-R-I-K, Ulrich Wisloff, W-I-S-S-L-O-F, I think it is. And Professor Wisloff is the head of the medical imaging section and to do with medicine. I haven't got the details right in front of me. This is from my head. At the Norwegian University of Technology and Science. He leads a team of 55 people, I guess they're medical researchers, at the university. He's been awarded in 2020 a special services award to the area of converting medical research into a usable format in the area of cardiology prevention. The award was given to him by the King of Norway. Beyond that, Google Scholar rank him as one of the top four professors in the world whose work is cited for academic and education research purposes. The list of work that he has produced is prolific. I have no idea how he fits it all in. It is absolutely incredible. Professor, I had this after looking at an invention that he built that has now had been accessed by over 20 million people worldwide. In fact, now it's probably towards 30 million. His invention is essentially a framework that converts what happens inside your body on a daily basis from planned and unplanned physical activity into a health impact score that can be directly clinically correlated to a person's and any individual's risk of cardiovascular event and or sickness, disease, and premature death. I'll say it again. His invention was a brand new set of frameworks that made me realize that there is a way to teach people the correct dose of physical activity that will drive down their risk, a simple goal, drive down their risk of the leading causes of sickness and disease and premature death. And it's clinically provable, 100% guaranteed outcome every time someone uses the framework that he invented. Now, rather than go into it here in this episode, I'm going to finish it here in this episode because I almost want to leave you hanging on purpose. It's a purposeful design because at the start of the next episode, what we're going to do in the PE teacher and the professor is I'm going to give you a short section, a few minutes of a private conversation I had that I've got permission from Professor Wisloff to share. And you're going to hear him in his own words talk about this invention. Then I'm going to break down his framework. It's unbelievable. It is like, for me, as a health and physical education specialist, someone who's been in the field for 34 years, this was with almost 100% certainty, not almost, with 100% certainty, the greatest moment of an epiphany I've ever had when I understood the framework. The framework's not complex to understand, but when I understood it and I realized what he'd invented, I said I have to share that with the world, hence the title of this audiobook and some of the other content that we've created from the new science of physical health. So that's it. I'm going to finish up with this particular section of the audiobook, the PE teacher and the professor and new health team. We want you to join our health team. I want you to become involved in the frameworks, the PE Teachers Health Lab Challenge. Really excited about it. Like I'm pumped because I break down in there and convert his frameworks into something that all of us can use. And he and his team have done this phenomenal job, but more people need to hear about it. So I hope you're hearing about it for the first time ever. All right, everybody, thanks for joining me this section of the audio book. The next one, Section 4, we're starting off with Professor Ulrich Wisloff. Go and look it up, look him up online. Phenomenal. You're going to hear from him in his own words in a private conversation that we had. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Bye for now.